The last 10 messages that it's really eight that I've preached and has been on Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. And the last 2 weeks, Pastor Eddie Cook has taken the podium here, and he's talked about realistic and practical evangelism. Did you enjoy him? Yeah, I am so loving that, bringing us back to our roots in evangelism, because I've missed that over the last couple of years since Clyde Roy retired. And, you know, I look at it, and he has inspiration, and he's excited about it. And like I say, that's helping us return to our roots, that when we named the church Harvest Fellowship, it was for two reasons. One, the fellowship is equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. We're just having fellowship together. Harvest is bringing in the harvest, and that's what God's asked us to do. So anyhow, I just, you know, he's not here, but I appreciate him being able to step up. Isn't it nice to have other guys that can just step up and do it? That's a pretty neat deal, and gives a real good time for us, because Deb and I took care of some family business in Seattle, and the problem is it was only about a week, but I had to cross over both Sundays to do it, because my mom passed away about this time last year, and so we've been trying to sell the house and all this, and this guy ran us out for 9 months. There's probably more detail than you need to know, and then canceled on us so that he could buy it from the mortgage company at a cheaper rate. And so everybody up there was pretty mad, and they wanted to have a meeting and all that kind of thing, and so what happened is a new guy came along and made a whole new higher offer. And so it's like, whoa. Well, I tell you, the Lord works in great ways. And so anyhow, so we went up to do that little bit of business. This is Debbie and I standing on a ship. We took an Alaskan cruise, and we only had about a week and a half to put it together and do it when we got this notice, because they didn't have all the staterooms filled. And you know how they'll cheapen them out? And so Deb and I were able to go up there for $449 each. Can you believe that, for a week on a cruise? And I love cruises. I was born and raised in Seattle, so and my parents were boaters, and so we took vacations on our boat and that kind of thing. So it was real nice. Now, I don't know what happened, but that whole cruise, it was 75 to 80 degrees, no clouds in the sky at all, okay? So I felt like it was a big blessing, and we spent most of our time outside on the tail end of the ship because it was so warm. And believe it or not, I mean, when we went to Ketchikan, and we went to, well, it wasn't Ketchikan, but Skyway, and we went to Juneau, and people were laying out in their two-piece bathing suits, and the guys had bathing suits on. They're playing on the beach in Alaska. So that was kind of crazy. That was a lot of fun. But anyhow, we got to go there, Skagway, and I got in Skagway. We got a whole. We were off the boat at 7, and we came back at 11:30 at night. And so we went up to the Yukon. We went up through British Columbia into the Yukon. Now, for the old folks, okay, we had a TV show for 3 years. It seemed like forever. Sergeant Preston of the Yukon. Anybody remember that? Yeah, with Rex the horse. And I think it was Yukon Mike, the dog. I can't remember. I think that's what it was. But anyhow, so we got to go up into the Yukon, and we got up to White Horse, where they had, that's the capital. And it was kind of smoky, and so we asked the people, it's just kind of, what is that? And they had 20 forest fires going on up there because of the heat. So anyhow, we had a great, great time, and I thank you for letting us take that break. We really needed it. It was just a real time for Deb and I to kind of draw into each other and get encouraged, and I feel very encouraged. So tonight, we're going to move on because we've been camping on verse 10, Ephesians 2:10, like I say, for 8 weeks, and I realized that we could talk about it forever. Well, I could. Now, I inherited this, honestly, because when I first became a Christian, the pastor that of the church that I went to had been in the book of Ephesians for 18 years, and it was only in the second chapter. And I thought, whoa. So anyhow, I try to do a little bit better than that. But anyhow, you know, Ephesians, all of Ephesians, from Ephesians 1:1 all the way through to verse 9 is about who we are. And then verse 10, Paul succinctly tells us how we are built, what we are supposed to do as Christians, to walk in good works. So, because he has created us in a spectacular way. And if we go back and review Ephesians 1 and 2, and if you weren't here, maybe what you had to do is get on our website and go back through some of those sermons and look at it, or read some books on Ephesians 1 and 2, because I think we can safely say he has made us spectacular, don't you? He has made us something spectacular. And I heard somebody just the other day talking about, oh, I suffer with guilt, and I feel like God doesn't value me. And they think, boy, they haven't read Ephesians 1 and 2. You know, and I was able to encourage that person, you know, because he's built us to do his incredible will. And now we get to the place in verse 11 where I think Paul pushes the reset button to tell us how we as Gentiles have come into this godly picture. And let's look at our scripture for today, starting with verse 11. And you read the yellow, and I'm going to read the white. So if you will, go there. Thank you. All right. Therefore, remember that you, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, made in the flesh by hands, being aliens from the commonwealth or citizenship of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of promise, but now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were afar off. Okay, it's going to take a while for us to get through those verses, I'm telling you right now. There's a lot there, isn't there? I mean, when you stop to think about it, that at one time we were without Christ, and we had no hope, and we were without God in the world, and we have hope now, don't we? Man, I tell you, I just look at these verses this week, just, it was hard to narrow it down even to what to say because there's so much there. So I decided to just stick with verse 11, the circumcision and the uncircumcision, and kind of break it down for us to look at it. Now, when we start out with verse 11, it says, therefore, remember. Now, in the original language, it's a command, an imperative, and we're going to have through that section. It is just assumed through that section, remember, 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 remember. Okay? And so he says, therefore, remember, don't forget where you came from, then what God has made you in his reaching out in mercy. So it says, therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles, now Gentiles is a word, ethnos, in the original language, and that's where we get our word ethnic from, okay? Different ethnic, and it just means those who are non-Jews are Gentiles. From the Latin, we have gentilis. In the French, we have gentile, and so they came up with the word Gentile, okay? Now, I'm kind of glad they did. Because if we said nations, I think we would get confused as to what that means, right? Because there's Jews in other nations. And so what Paul is talking about here is anybody that is not a blood Jew is a Gentile. All right? And so he says, therefore, remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh who are called the uncircumcision, or the ones being called, is the way the original language says, being called the Gentiles, the uncircumcision, by those being called the circumcision, made in the flesh by hands. Now, let's look and think about this for a minute, because this is a subject that is kind of hard to talk to. When we talk about circumcision, all the guys have this little kind of pit in their stomach, right? because we know what happens to babies when they're 8 days old and male babies and that kind of thing. But when Abraham had been sent to the promised land, at the point that he's about to have Isaac and God's going to create this situation with Abraham, 99 years old, and Sarah, 90, and she's going to have a baby, and they're laughing about it. In fact, Isaac's name means laughter. In fact, in Judaism, they go, and that means laughter. They say the word over and over, and so Isaac's name is laughter, because God makes a covenant with Abraham as that he will, through Abraham's seed, bring the Christ and to be. And so he wants every male circumcised in the household forever, really, from generation to generation, as a sign that they are God's people and God is with them. And we find out a little bit later when we get into the New Testament for sure that is symbolic that circumcision was to be a physical representation of a heart condition. Of a heart condition. A daily reminder that they have no confidence in the flesh. And we're going to find out that's what it means, okay? So Paul clarifies this in Philippians chapter 3 to his readers, and I want to start in verse 2. All right? Beware. The actual word means look, but with look with a sense of look and make sure you see it. Now, I had to laugh because Debbie and I have, or it's emerged over the last couple years that I don't look at road signs. I don't know why. I just don't. I mean, that's the way it looks to me. I figure I kind of know where I'm going, and I kind of know what the speed limit is, and sometimes I look at them, and so maybe it was because I grew up in the billboard years, right, where everything was an advertisement and that kind of thing, and so I just kind of ignore it. I don't mean to, but signs seem to be kind of redundant to me, and so Debbie will ask, or I'll ask Debbie, hey, do you know what the speed limit is? Because I'll be going down, all of a sudden I realize, I don't know if it's 45 or 55 or what it is. And Debbie, in her very loving but exasperating way, will say, will you read the signs, Steve? Will you read the signs? Will you look at the signs? And that's just exactly what Paul's saying. Look, read the signs. And then he says in verse 2, beware, look, the dogs. Now, I hate to tell you this, but I think pretty much everybody in here is a Gentile, right? Okay. The name for us, from those days to the present, is we are dogs. All right? And you'll find it in some of the other scriptures where it talks about the fact that the Gentiles are dogs. And even today, if you go into Jerusalem or you're in Israel, a lot of the exasperated Jews will just say, you dog. But he says it in Hebrew, so we don't know what they're saying. Okay? And so he's saying, look, beware of the dogs. It's not just dogs, it's the dogs, meaning the evil Gentiles. Beware of the dogs, beware of the evil workers. That makes a little more sense to us. And then he says, beware of the mutilation. Now, Paul's quite a guy. It's a grammar slam. He's using grammar as a twist on circumcision. In Greek, the word tome means to cut, okay? And front end that they put on the word means to cut against or to cut down, which means to mutilate, okay? Butcher, okay? Now, when we say that, I don't know how you guys feel, but it kind of makes me hurt a little bit, you know, just thinking about that. And then Paul says, for we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Jesus Christ, and what? Have no confidence in the flesh. That's the key to this whole idea of circumcision. No confidence in the flesh. And we will find out that we are all men, women, everybody. He's cut out, circumcised our heart. He's cut away the sin. And so when we have no confidence in the flesh, I just wanted to spend a few seconds on this, means to not be persuaded in our flesh, not being persuaded by our sinful impulses or responses. Because if we take our immediate responses at times when somebody says something mean or whatever, what happens? Is that of the Spirit? Very seldom, right? We usually have this kind of wrong impulse. And so it's just like, for instance, if somebody says, don't get mad, get even. Is that flesh or spirit? That's flesh, that's right. Okay? What goes around comes around. Okay, now that may be a true statement when people say that. Is it the flesh or the spirit? Flesh, right, okay. I can do it all myself. Flesh or spirit? God, please empower me to do that. Flesh or spirit? Spirit. I love you because Christ loves you. Flesh or spirit? Spirit. God has made me worthy because I am not worthy of myself. Spirit. I will serve people because God asked me to do that. Spirit. Yeah. So we get the idea. No confidence in our flesh, because as soon as we put confidence in our flesh, what happens? We go down. That's the key to God's idea of circumcision. No confidence in the flesh. No confidence in the flesh. Now, I say that, and yet we do have confidence in our flesh a lot, don't we? We seem to think, hey, we're right. We don't stop and consider what is God's voice in all this. And it causes a great deal of pain in your life. Or is it just me? Because when we depend on our flesh and our impulses, it comes unraveled in what we do. Trusting in our flesh brings pain. It brings dryness to our bones. The seeming need to prop ourselves up and market ourselves because we're not doing all that well. All because we as Christians who trust Christ for our salvation don't trust Christ for our daily action. At times. And as we daily begin to trust in Christ to answer and guide our thoughts and impulses, our gifts and talents, and He leads us to good work, it becomes a different world to live in. Amen? So Paul gives us a clear example of his fleshly credentials. Verse 4 of Philippians 3. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, concerning the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, what? Blameless. Now, that doesn't mean he's without sin. That means that he went through the things, the sin sacrifices and so on, in order to take care of that sin. Paul is describing his pride. He's describing his credentials, like we might describe ours. I don't know what yours would look like. I'm a pastor. How are you going to beat that? Right? Isn't that my confidence in the flesh? I really don't feel that way. And I don't know what your confidence is in your flesh, but there are certain things that you feel you really do well, and if you don't believe yourself, just see who you're criticizing. And you'll realize, wait a minute, I think pretty highly of myself. It's confidence in the flesh. It's an uncircumcised heart that we have from time to time, and we're supposed to have no confidence, no confidence in the flesh. In fact, let me just read this out of Romans 1:21. I love this these verses, and I even live my life by these verses when we trust in our own wisdom. He says in Romans 1:21, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. We become fools, folks, when we trust in ourselves. And the way it comes out is, first it says, although they knew God, they did not glorify. When we let glory fall down and we aren't giving God the glory, and then pretty soon we lose our thankful heart, right? And what happens? We become futile in our thoughts, and we become fools. But instead, we have confidence in God and what he says, not in ourselves. Now, I want to be a little straightforward here on the subject of circumcision in order to explain what Paul is saying about circumcision, because I'm going to be real honest. When we read that first verse, therefore remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hand, it doesn't seem like it's that big of a deal. But in today's world, a majority of males in this country are circumcised by statistics for health reasons, not for religious reasons. And so it's not impactful to us. But in Paul's day, there was only one reason that you were circumcised as a male. It had nothing to do with health. It was everything to be Jewish, to be Hebrew, to be a son, a physical lineage son of Abraham. And it was an identifier of the covenant or promise from God to you and your family if you were a Jew. Now, this really became clear to me when I was hiking through Israel. Deb and I were on this tour with 60 people, and we were hiking up through, and I remember one particular time we were hiking up through a wadi. That's where two mountains come together, the wash water. They call that a wadi, and that's the highways and byways that Jesus talks about. That was their roads, okay? And so we would be crawling up through these wadis and walking, and pretty soon he would stop after a few people whispered in his ear, and he says, okay, it's potty break, okay? And he says, I want the men to go this way, and I want the women to go that way. Well, there were no McDonald's bathrooms, okay? There were no gas stations near. And so we would take this potty break. Now, it's funny because all the men would get together, but in America, we are so conscious of this whole thing can I be real here? Okay. We'd all go over by our tree or whatever, and nobody could see what we're doing, right? In fact, you know, men, I'm just got to be clear, because you need to understand this. You see the urinals lined up. How do you feel when there's no separators? You hear the men giggling? Okay. Yeah, we are in our society, we are very shy about that kind of thing, and it's very hidden in America. But you get to Israel, and you get to the Far East, and they're not shy about it all. You could be driving in the bus, and somebody be standing right by the road and just letting her go. I'm serious. It was crazy to see that, and it is not against the law, whereas I don't know whether it is against our law or not. But, you know, the whole thing is you're not supposed to go to the bathroom out in the open. Okay, now, in Paul's day, there was only one reason you were circumcised, and they did not have Levi jeans and shorts, right? It was robes. Okay, now I want you to think about this just for a second, and I apologize, but we need to think about this. When they pulled up their robes, it was pretty hard not to see things, right? And so men knew who was circumcised and who wasn't circumcised. And so it was a pretty big deal, because if you weren't circumcised, you didn't like the guys that were circumcised. And the guys that were circumcised didn't necessarily like the guys that weren't circumcised, because they were Gentiles, right? And so they had nothing to do with it. I remember when Peter gets in And is talking to Ananias and some, I can't think of, that's not the right name. But anyhow, he's talking, he says, you know that we Jews do not keep company with those of other nations. What does nation mean? Gentiles, yeah. Because they knew. And so it was a source of pride on both sides, really. And so we look at it, and Paul's using this same thing to tell us in Philippians and in Colossians that we were circumcised of the heart. And people need to know that. Right? They need to know we have a circumcised heart. Colossians chapter 2, verse 11 says this, in him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Christ circumcises your hearts and mine. Male or female, that's not the issue. Jew or Gentile, that's not the issue anymore, Paul's going to tell us. It's about having the heart. And we come to salvation, and he removes that sin and that flesh from us by his Spirit, and we struggle with it over and over because we keep drawn back into that old lifestyle. And God wants us to recognize we are no longer the uncircumcised. Do you get that? If the worship team will come back, we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper tonight. And everyone here, I don't care if you're a visitor or what, you're welcome to participate with us. It's a time that I think, with this subject tonight, we need to examine our own hearts to see where we're at. Do we put too much trust in our flesh? In what we can do, in how wise we are, or are we putting our trust in Christ? Following me? In other words, are we loving ourselves, or are we really loving God and Christ and loving people through them? So Paul explains what he means by being circumcised of the heart in verse 7. But what things were gained to me, who I thought I was, all the things that he mentioned, these I have counted loss for whom? For Christ. And when we go back to thinking about Christ and we see the 12 disciples here and we look at it, I was talking to one gentleman this weekend and I said, you know, when Peter was caught and they decided to crucify him, he told them, please crucify me upside down because I don't want to be in the position of matching what Christ did. And they crucified Paul or Peter upside down because of his love for Christ. So the question is, do we have a circumcised heart? Yes, we do. God has already taken care of that. The question is, do we believe it, and are we going to live it in our life? Let's just stop, and we're going to worship together, and then we're going to join in the Lord's Supper.
You've searched me, and you know my way. Even when I fail you, I know you love me. your holy presence surrounding me in every season. I know you love me. I know you love me. And at the cross I bow my knee, where your blood was shed for me. There's no greater love than this. And you have overcome the grave. Your glory fills the highest place. What can separate me now? And you go before me. You shield my way, and your hand upholds me. I know you love me.
At the cross,
at the cross I bow my knee, where your blood was shed for me. There's no greater love than this. And you have overcome the grave. Your glory fills the highest place. What can separate me now? And at the cross I bow my knee, where your blood was shed for me. There's no greater love than this. No, you have overcome the grave. Your glory fills the highest place. What can separate me now? You tore the veil. You made a way when you said that it is done. You tore the veil. You made a way when you said that it is done. And when the earth fades and falls from my eyes, and you stand before me, I know you love me. Oh, I know you love me. The cross I bow my knee, where your blood was shed for me. There's no greater love than this. And you have overcome the grave. Your glory fills the highest place. What can separate me now? And at the cross I bow my knee, where your blood was shed for me. There's no greater love than this. And you have overcome the grave. Your glory fills the highest place. What can separate me now? You tore the veil. You made a way when you said that it is done. You tore the veil. You made a way when you said that it is done. You tore the veil. You made a way. When you said that it is done, and you tore the veil. You made a way. When you said that it is done.
Paul tells us to remember. Therefore, remember, remember, remember. That's the Christian life, isn't it? Remembering who we are. Remember what Christ has done for us. He's circumcised our heart. He's taken that body of sin and removed it from us. And we struggle because we forget. We forget instead of remember. And it's time, I think, friends, that we consider giving up who we think we are. And think tonight about just re-anting up, re-surrendering our lives to God. Just like Christ did to the Father when he surrendered to him and went to the cross for you and I. Just think how hard that would be. And he did it for you and for me. And when they were in the supper, he took the bread and he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And let's remember Christ together. And then he took the blood or the wine and he said, "This represents my blood that's shed for you. When you drink this, remember me." And let's remember him tonight. Father, we come celebrating life, celebrating the fact that you have recreated us when we put our faith and trust in you, that you've even allowed us to do your ministry, to walk in good works. And now you're asking us to remember. And Lord, we remember what you did for us, that's for sure. That you died on a cross, you were buried for 3 days, and you rose again. And that you're coming after us here pretty soon. And Lord, we wait expectantly for that day when you come to take us home where we can get entirely rid of this flesh. But in the meantime, Lord, we bow the knee to you. We surrender to you tonight. We give back, Lord, that all the things that we keep taking and taking and taking about ourselves and building ourselves up and making us feel better and trying to find happiness and trying to find contentment and all those kind of things, Lord, we surrender that tonight. We are fools, as the scripture said. We surrender that tonight. And for you who have come, while our heads are bowed, I just want to talk to you for a minute. If you don't have a relationship with God, it's very easy. The scripture is very clear on how to do that. The Bible says that we've all sinned and the wages of that sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He said in Romans 10:9, "And if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." You will be saved. So I'm going to say a little prayer. And if I'm speaking to you tonight, or God's speaking to you tonight, just pray this prayer. Nothing magical about the prayer. Just to lead you through to take on that relationship with Jesus Christ so that your life too can be changed like ours has been changed. The prayer goes like this. "Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin and come into my heart and life and be the Lord of my life. God, I believe that Jesus rose from the dead just like that verse said in Romans. So come into my life and save me today and change my life." While our heads are still bowed, if you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it, will you raise your hand up? Put it back down. Let God know you mean business. Anybody else? Okay, anybody else? Father, we come rejoicing. that each week we see people give their lives and surrender their lives to you. But Lord, I ask that we all together tonight surrender our lives to you. That we will walk with a circumcised heart, not an uncircumcised heart. That we will do what you've told us to do and be what you've told us to be. And Lord, we'll give Jesus Christ the glory. We will give you the glory. And we thank you for what your Son did for us. That he came and died and rose again. And we who are Gentiles, we who weren't under Abraham, are now spiritually under all that. And we thank you for that. May you be blessed tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for coming. And remember, we're going to have soup. Are you going to play a song? Okay. So let's stand and let's close in a worship song. And stay with us and have soup.